Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the CBC Unspoken Podcast. It's been a little bit since we've done our last episode, but I've been on vacation a couple times, out of town a little bit. We had a bunch of stuff going on. Men just got back on the from the Gridirons Men Conference. Matthew just got back from youth camp not too long ago as well. So we just had a lot going on, and we're getting back into it. So for today's episode, we're going to talk about fellowship. And I thought this was pretty fitting considering, again, Matthew just got back from youth camp. We just got back from a men's conference. And I wanted to talk about the importance of fellowship and the different types of fellowship, whether it be good fellowship or bad fellowship. So I want to discuss how humans are mimetic creatures. Our actions often reflect those who we surround ourselves with. You know, our tendencies are to replicate other people. And whether you think you're like that or not, that's how we're wired as humans to be that way. And sometimes this can be beneficial, but it can also be detrimental at other times. If we look at the word fellowship, fellowship means having a friendly companionship or a strong kinship with something. And in particular, people. They're different types of fellowship that we can have, but today we're going to focus on three in particular. That's fellowship with unbelievers, fellowship with Christians, and fellowship with God. All right, so the first one I wanted to discuss and focus on is fellowship with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" All right, so when we look at this verse right here, a lot of times we think about marriage, right? You're not supposed to be unequally yoked with your wife. But this also is explaining that you shouldn't be unequally yoked with other people as well, not particularly your wife. It's important to be equally yoked with your wife because you become one flesh. And one can be, destructive while, and it affects both of you, right? But we're not to be equally yoked, and we're not supposed to be bonding with people who aren't unbelievers. And I'm not saying, I'll talk about this more in a second, but I'm not saying you shouldn't be friends with people who are unbelievers. You shouldn't, try to, lead them to Christ and stuff like that. You shouldn't talk to unbelievers, but it's to have that deep kinship and bondship with unbelievers. We're supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. That's what a lot of people, I feel like, fall into when they do this, is they end up losing their testimony. Because they're getting caught up and they're mimicking those people that they're surrounding themselves with. And that's what 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. I also put in my notes that entertaining the flesh can lead to backsliding as well. I feel like the more time you spend in places you shouldn't be, and the more times you look at things you shouldn't look at, the easier it's going to be to give into those things.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of what I have on here as far as fellowship with unbelievers. Have you guys had that in your lives where you found yourself with the wrong group, so to speak, or Have you pretty much went rogue your whole life?
Now, when, you know, we've talked on here before that you know, I was saved pretty late in life, but I had to break fellowship with the companions and with the friends that I had because I wanted to continue to do the things I knew that I shouldn't do. So I had to find new friends. And because you can't, you know, one of my favorite sayings in life is you can't do the same thing and expect different results. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you become saved, then you have to, I mean, we all have tried to witness to our friends that aren't saved. And it you know, early on it never works. But, you know, later on in life, then, you know, sometimes it does work out that you can, you know, remain friends with them. But mm-hmm. for the most part, you know, once you're saved, you've got to find a different bunch of friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you start looking for other friends before you got saved? Or was it after you got saved that
it was afterwards.
Okay. Because I remember you telling your testimony a little bit on another podcast about how, you know, somebody kept asking you to come to church and you finally just decided to go just to get them off your back.
To shut them up.
I mean, it was. Yeah.
But.
So I didn't know if that was like a friend or somebody that you knew after you or.
It was more of an acquaintance.
Okay.
Wasn't really a friend.
Okay, gotcha.
But because the friends I had at the time, they wasn't going to church.
right.
But, you know, and you know, the Bible tells us that we have to witness to unbelievers, and mm-hmm. we have to be with them day in and day out mm-hmm. in our activities and in our workplaces and things like that. But we can't stay with that group for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, because that, you know, Brother Matthew said it will, you know, it will wear off on you and mm-hmm. you are who you surround yourself with.
That's right.
Yeah, Pastor Alex talked about that a lot, how it's sometimes easier for somebody to bring you down than it is for you to pick them up. Right. You know? Yeah.
I think that's a lot of what being a younger teenager, 15 years old when I got saved. So I was kind of in the middle of my high school. And so you get alienated real fast mm-hmm. if you ever say anything. You know, so you start off trying to tell people about it and trying to, you know, share with it when you can, mostly at the lunch table or something like that, when you kind of get sympathetic people with you. And but then there's times you hit resistance and you shy back, you know. So being a teenager and a Christian is hard. Mm. But later on in my high school years, I became a loner because I got tired of hearing the garbage, got tired of it. And I didn't feel in common with those people like I did before.
Right.
You know, it's like at work. I've got buddies I work with and we get along really well in the shop. There's 5-6 of us. And we talk about things, we got things in common, but at the core of it, I don't feel, you know, feel in common with them as much, mm-hmm. feel almost outcast because where they'll say, you know, that in their normal conversation, they'll have their words they say and stuff like that, and, right. you know, and things like that, you know, and they would talk about, you know, they were drinking all weekend or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, I have some in common with them. You know, but then the other side of it's like, well, I'm just praying for them.
Right.
Because I don't want to see, you know, something happen to them and they don't make it to heaven.
Right.
But in Scripture, in Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I think you're drawn to people that are drawn to you.
Mm-hmm.
my spirit bears witness with y'all's spirit. Sure. I feel comfortable with y'all, even though we don't come from the same background and we don't do the same things, is that we can sit down and enjoy each other's presence and not feel like we're in competition continuously and we're not trying to be better than one another. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's where the spirit works. You know, and it don't work with people out in the world necessarily. You love them and you're compassionate about them and you care about them and you know where they came from. Mm-hmm. If you get down to the basics, you know where they came from because you were there too, mm-hmm. where you didn't care. Right. Sin didn't matter. There was no battle. There was no struggle. You know, when you're the one struggling now to try to do right and try to live right, not say the things they're saying, even though you're in the midst of people that might you know, joke and say things I shouldn't say. But you try to live different to hopefully draw them to God. But yeah, it's a difficult thing because, you know, you got to make the stand. It's easier just to fall in with them and then be different when you leave. But then what are you doing for them? You're not helping them.
Right.
You know, because they're not getting any better.
Right.
But, you know, we don't always live our best life either. You know, we fail that too. So it's like, it's a battle, you know, but these unbelievers, they need that Jesus walked everywhere, no matter where they are. He met them there.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's really the person we should mimic.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, well, and we'll talk about that too later.
Well, and you've got on your notes here, I think either I missed it or we passed over it, just talking about, you said abstain from all appearance of evil, you know, for fear of losing your own testimony. And, I mean, if you're out eating somewhere and somebody that's with you has an alcoholic beverage sitting on the table and somebody you go to church with walks by or your neighbor walks by that knows that you leave three times a week to go to church, well, all of a sudden, that becomes your alcoholic beverage.
It's in question,
You know, and that's, you know, you're guilty by association. And
yeah, and it's important, too, to not get caught up in what other people think of you as well. Though, though, you know, you can lose your testimony in a way. I mean, you look at Jesus, who was, you know, a friend of sinners, you know, the Pharisees accused him of being a wine bibber and a glutton.
I've actually got those scriptures.
And you know, he wasn't partaking of those sinful things. You know, he wasn't partaking of those, but the Pharisees saw him associated with that group of people.
Yeah.
So they put that tag on him as well. So it's important, you know, it's a fine line between, and I'm not saying go to the bar every day with your buddies. I'm saying that there's a fine line there between, you know, are you going to be the same person when you're with these people as you are when you're with Christians or when you're with other people? Because you need to be a different person. You don't need to be that same person that's partaking in those things. But yeah, I can definitely, you know, even, I mean, not even just like a bar or, you know, with alcohol, just being around, you know, another woman, just you and them, you know. I'm speaking to guys because we're all guys here. Same thing if it's a woman, you know, hanging out with another man, you know, there's still an appearance there, and that could lead to other things too. So, you know, there's, you know, there is something to be said about, you know, what you're showing other people and how you're acting. And that's why we need to have a strong relationship with Christ before we start having these other relationships with others. Because you're not going to love, what's the greatest commandment? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Next is like unto it, love others as yourself. So you need to love God first and set Him as your priority before you think you're strong enough to go with these unbelievers to lead them. Obviously, we know Jesus was a lot higher than we are and that He resisted all temptation. We're not Jesus. We should strive to be Jesus, but we need to have the humbleness to say we're not Him. So
He took His disciples with Him So, I mean, they were in the midst of that too.
Right, right.
You're right. I mean, I think we're the witnessing to that soul is the priority. That's what's important in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ain't saying go to the bars and do it, but there are some that God has allowed to go and witness and be in and
mm-hmm.
not partake.
Right.
That's who, whoever he calls to do that.
Right.
But in your situation, yeah. I mean, say you are at a restaurant and you've got a fellow that may do that. You know, you don't have to have what they have.
Right, right.
You know, and yeah, people are going to question. Sure. But they'll question you regardless.
Yeah.
And you just got to know that, you know, your testimony stands for itself and
mm-hmm.
and pray for them if they're worried more about you than their own self.
Right, right.
But it is true. Yeah, I mean, your testimony matters.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if, you know, when it comes to the soul of that person, that's the priority. Right. You know?
That's far more important than what somebody else says about you.
And you're not compromising by sitting there with them. You're witnessing to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it still brings into question everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the Lord himself, he got questioned for
the
disciples eating on the Sabbath day and him healing on the Sabbath day. But, mm-hmm. you know, once again, a lot of that is the righteousness of men masquerading as God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more judging than it is. Because if, you know, that person knows you and knows you're witnessing to this other person, it don't matter. They should be praying for you, witnessing
right,
to him.
Right.
But yeah, it's a hard thing. You're right, it's a fine line.
And too, like with fellowship with unbelievers, it's hard to be different because, again, it's another part of our nature to want people to like us and
mm-hmm.
to fit in with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you're constantly going to certain places or constantly doing certain mm-hmm. things with some people, it's hard to resist because you're like, well, all these other people are doing it too. It's fine for me too as well, you know, because I'm going to fit in. They're going to look at me weird if I don't, right? You know, it makes me think of how, I can't remember what movie it was I was watching, but, you know, like undercover agents and stuff like that, if they're working in like the drug scene or something like that, they have to do drugs sometimes mm-hmm. to prove that they're in the in crowd, right? But it's depending on who you surround yourself with, you're going to have those instances where you're going to feel, I'm not saying you're an undercover agent, I'm just saying you're going to have that feeling of wanting to assimilate and to be part of the group that you're hanging out with, or else you're going to be an outcast or an outsider. And then you're going to move on to something else. So that kind of leads to the next point. You know, if you're an outcast or an outsider with the unbelievers, you're going to find yourself in fellowship with other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So as Christians, it's important that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We learned about that in Hebrews chapter 10. You know, it's important that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But I think that's, yes, it is church. But I think, too, we kind of get lost in that, thinking that the only fellowship we have with Christians should be at church.
Yeah, that's just this much of it.
Right, right. And that's what, two hours on a Sunday and, you know, 1 hour on a Wednesday if we come. Greg's looking at me in an hour on a Wednesday. But it's only a short time, and that's why I like having like the men's conference that we just went on.
That's good.
Is because, you know, you grow deeper with these people. You're in situations other than how you doing.
Right.
Good. Okay. You know, see you on tonight.
That's why we have refuges for the young people.
Right.
Because they have time before service and after service to goof off and talk and stuff, but it's really just regimented. It's like, yeah, you got morning service, evening service, and Wednesday night if they're able to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so having an extra activity. They don't have, I mean, it's not formal, so they can just have fun.
Right.
You know, spend time together, learn about each other. And I mean, that's important, because the service aspect of it is good for church, because you're in service. And like yesterday here, God was moving, and you know, God spoke to people all different ways. Like Brother Blake, you know, just him just celebrating the fact of how good God is, that even, you know, even for a rotten sinner, he still loved us, reached down for us. You know, and every person in that church, whether they wanted to experience that or not, needed that.
Right.
They needed that, because that's the presence of God, you know, speaking to people. And he's trying to speak to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But so many are just like,
right,
I'm just here. And the invitation God provides to everybody every time, I mean, it's such a grace of God extended. Mercy that he extends to us is so good. We don't deserve that.